Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, as we move forward in the Word of God. And as always, it is a what? Great word this morning. It's a great word. And we are coming out of the Old Testament. We'll be in Psalms this morning as well as in Nehemiah. I am just so grateful that God gave me the word. And the word that God gave me is there's only one God who rules the heavens and the earth. Can y'all say that with me? There is only one God who moves, who rules, like rules, in charge of the heavens and the earth. Only one God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, God, for being who you are, awesome and mighty is our God. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you this morning. For you are the source of our strength and the strength of our life. You are God and you are God alone. You sit on heaven's throne, hallelujah, with our Savior on your right hand. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to be saved. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us enough to give your Son for our sinful self. Father God, I lift up this word in its name, asking you, Lord God, to increase as your daughter decreases, Father God. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Savior, God. You are my friend. And so, Father, as you increase and I decrease, I pray this word touches someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, and someone who is not saved but seeking salvation, that they will say, what must I do to be saved? And we say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Accept him into your heart, into your mind, into your spirit, into your life. And you will be saved by his great love, by his goodness and kindness, and by his mercy. And so, Lord Jesus, I lift up each and every listener, asking you to guide them and lead them in the way that they should go, that they will not depart from it in their coming in and their going out. Father God, I thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you. And it's in your name that I give this word over to you and ask you to lead and guide me in it. Amen, amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, family. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a beautiful day, as Mr. Rogers used to say. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Hallelujah. That's what the Lord is asking us today. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? Are you going to be the Lord's today? Are you going to look up, lift up, and give him honor, glory, and praise today? Are you just going to say, thank you? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. of the honor, of the glory, of the praise. And I just say together with you, it makes me want to shout this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to be a little bit different today. Instead of starting in Nehemiah, we are going to start in the Psalms. We're going to start in the Psalms. Because, you know, when I think about the Psalm, I just think about prayer and supplication and crying out to God for whatever my situation is. I know that my Father God can handle it. No matter what it is, He can handle it. And He does it well. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed and blessed some more. So let's get into the word this morning. For those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the 89th Psalm, starting at verse 11. And after we finish our Psalms, we'll be in Proverbs, starting at Proverbs chapter 21, starting at verse 31. And then we'll be going back into Nehemiah, and we will be in Nehemiah chapter 8, starting in chapter 8. So let's get into our Psalm this morning. And again, we are in Psalm 89, starting at verse 11. And the title of our word for this morning is coming out of Psalm chapter 89. And our title, one more time, is this: there's only one God who rules the heavens and the earth. It's amazing. I don't know how many of you are geeky like I am on occasion. I like to go to NASA, to the NASA space, to the NASA space website. And when you go there, there's a place where you can look at the heavens, where the telescopes are catching creation of planets and the demise of planets. It's capturing black holes. And, you know, there's this one picture that I have on my phone. And personally, to me, it looks like a smiley face. And I'm like, that's just God reminding us I'm in charge. And so there's a smiley face in the background. And what it is the creation of galaxies, and we are seeing it through our telescope and through Hubble that's still floating around out there in outer space. And it's so awesome. It's like this big, huge, it's light, and then it's inside the lights, and it's just gorgeous. And so I just laughed, and I said, Lord, just a reminder that you're in charge. And that wherever we go, you've already been there. So thanking God that He has a sense of humor and that He just wants us to know that He is in control of everything. Can y'all say God is in control of everything? And so thanking God again this morning. So let's get into our Psalm. And it says this: the heavens are yours and the earth also is yours. Who do we belong to? We belong to God. We belong to God. We're not out there by ourselves. And the word says, and the world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tamar and Hermon, rejoice in your name. We rejoice in the name of God. We rejoice in His loving kindness. We rejoice that He loves us more than anything imaginable. So much that He gave His Son for us. Wow. Would you give up your child for a complete stranger? Would you give up your child for a complete stranger? Would you give up your child for the sinners of this world? Would you give up your child? Would you? Would you give up the child of your heart? Would you give him up? And just so you know what I'm talking about when it says you, Tabor and Harmon rejoice in your name. Tabor and Harmon shall rejoice in your name. Tabor was a mountain in the western part of Galilee in the tribe of Zebulun, Joshua 9:12. This mountain, according to an author I'm reading, and his name is Mr. Mundrell, says by itself in the plains of Esdraelon, about 1,200 to 1,800 yards within the plain. It has a plain area at top and most fertile and delicious of an oval figure extended about 600 yards. So it's a mountain. And then you have Hermon was a mountain also called by the Sudanese Siram and by the Amorites Shinar. And it was in the east. And so Mr. Mondrell, speaking of Tabor, says, not many miles eastward you see Mount Hermon, at the foot of which is netted for our Lord's rising, the widow's son there. There was a Hermon near Mount Tabor, thought likely to be here meant, but easy, y'all. So it looks like this is one of the words that I'm looking at. And it's saying that it's a mountain, you know, and that they mirror each other. And it says again, what is Tabor in the Bible? And it says in the Hebrew Bible, Joshua Judges, Mount Tabor is the site of the battle of Mount Tabor between the Israelites army under the leadership of Barak and the army of the Canaanites, king of Hazar, Jabin, commanded by Sisera. And we all know what happened to him. He got killed. Tip peg in the head. And it also says in Christian tradition, Mount Tabor is the site of the transfiguration of Jesus. So that's what we look at. I look at it as a site of transfiguration. And then again, when we go to Mount Hermon, it says, why did Jesus go to Mount Hermon? Mount Hermon, the fallen angels told in the book of Enoch, landed on the mountain for the purpose of polluting God's creation through the creation of giants, mighty men of old, men of renown in Genesis 6. So you have a lot of different things that it says about these two mountains. And then you have some that compete and say that no, Mount Hermon is the point of transfiguration. And so we just look at it this way. They are great mountains to God. That's the best way to put it, you know, because then you have in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and it says in 8 through 9, it says in Joshua 12 and 1, and 13 and 11, Mount Hermon is depicted as the northern boundary of the Amorite kingdom, which, following the conquest by Joshua, was awarded to the half-tribe of Manasseh east of the Jordan River. So, we all know that's what's going on. So it's just so many different things. But to God, these two places are important. And it just says these mountains rejoice. It says the north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. But God created the mountains. God created Tabor. God created Hermon. God created us. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed. Come on now. Say, I know I'm blessed. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our king to the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. God is with us. He has never left us. He rejoices in us. He is our strength, and he never fails, and he never gives up on us. And as we go into chapter verses 19 through 29, it says, then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David with my holy oil. I have anointed him with whom my hand shall be established. Also, my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foe before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Also, I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Who also I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Whoa, thanking God this morning for the blessing of Abraham, for the blessing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thanking God for the blessing of the Holy One. And as we continue in the 89th Psalm, verses 30 through 37, it says, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgment, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from them, nor allow my faithfulness to fall. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. That's one of them. Do you understand the words coming out of my mouth? God is asking us, do you understand me? I'm going to tell. This is what's going to happen. If you do not keep my commandments and my statutes, you are going to get shipped out. And what happened? Israel got shipped out all over the planet. Nobody knows where 10 of the tribes are to this day. The lost tribes is what they're called. We could be part of the lost tribes. You could be part of the lost tribes. Any of us could be a part of the lost tribe. You will not know who you are. You won't know your customs. You won't know anything because you've been cut off. We got to speak life over ourselves, and we got to speak the Lord's name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jehovah. And to you, if he is Yah, thank you, Yah. You know, there are those that want to say that, well, when the Muslims, they don't worship God. Actually, they do. If you read the words, you will understand that our Bible, their Bible, up to chapter 5, well, up to the 5 books of Moses, we're all the same. We all have the same statutes. We all have the same commandments. We all have the same word. But they are descended of Abraham as well, through Ishmael, his son. And they are a great nation, just like everything that God says is the truth. We got to understand whatever name you call him, he is the one and only God who created the heavens and he created the earth. He created you. He created me. He created all things within. And so as these telescopes are going out and looking at the stars and looking at the planets and looking at the creation, you have to be in awe of how great our God is. You have to be in awe of how awesome and wonderful he is. And as he tells us, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me shall be established forever, like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, Elah. And if you go into a life lesson from Psalm, it says this, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. The fulfillment of God's promise to David came through Jesus Christ. Jesus was not only the accomplishment of God's security to David, but also of over 300 prophecies and pledges throughout Israel's history to everyone from Adam to Zechariah. God always fulfills his promises to the latter. Yes, he does. Can you say thank you, Lord, this morning? Can you tell God thank you? Can you look up and look out and say, Lord, I believe that all things are possible through you, God. I know that you love me. I know that you created everything, including me. You gave me the blood in my body and the heart to pump it. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning. And as we go into our proverb, it says in Proverbs chapter 21, starting at verse 29, a wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Deliverance is of the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with preparation. In fact, it is essential that we always be ready for whatever the Lord calls us to do. You know, we have to be ready in and out of season. Whatever your calling, whatever your anointing, be ready to do it. If you are a pastor or a minister, someone in the fivefold, and you go somewhere and it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I should have asked you before now, but could you give a word? You got to have a word. You got to have a word ready to go. Always have a word ready to go wherever you are. You got to be ready to stand on the word and have your Bible. You never know when you're going to need it. Have it in your car at all times. Have a word. Excuse me, I'll be right back. I got something for you. And have it in your heart. God will give you what you need. He will help you to be prepared. He will give you that sermon that you need to preach. That's how he works. When he calls you to it and brings you through it, he's going to equip you for whatever season you are in. Hallelujah. Trust in God today. Be ready in and out of season. And as Dr. Stanley says, however, the power and wisdom behind any victory is from God. Our resources will never be enough, but God will never, hallelujah. Did he not give the widow oil until she ran out of pots? Come on now. If she had continued bringing in pots, she would have continued getting oil. That's how God works. He gives us what we need and more than we could ever ask for. or think all we have to do is believe. Have that faith that some of the things hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. And as we go forth, it says in Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 2, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Can you say hallelujah with me this morning? The Lord is the maker of them all. God made you, God made me, he made us. And we are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And as we go into Proverbs chapter 22, verses 3 through 4, it says, a prudent man perceives evil and hides himself, pass on, and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Woo! Hallelujah. By humility, I'm saying it again, and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Are you fearing God today? Because I know I do. I don't play with God, and I know God don't play with me. We better understand who's in charge of what? Everything. And I said it just what I meant, everything. Everything. God is in charge of it. He's in charge of my actions, your actions. He sees us before we do anything. He knows our heart. God knows your heart. He loves you anyway. He loves us through our good. He loves us through our bad. He loves us through our downright ugly. And we know, we all have it, that moment in life where we can be really ugly. But God loves us anyway. And the one thing we always must remember, there's only one God who rules the heavens and the earth. That's it. Believe it, stand on it, and know it. Whew. God is in charge. God is in charge of everything. I love God. Ooh, I love God. And I know that I know that I know he loves me too. Oh, oh, glory to God in the highest. And as we get into our Old Testament, our main word this morning, we are coming out of Nehemiah chapter 8. So get the Bible. And you should have your Bible. Let's get the Bible out this morning. And go with me to the book of Nehemiah. Get all excited. This is and has been a awesome book. Nehemiah is a don't play kind of person. Came in, cupbearer of the king, built the wall in 52 days. Come on now. Had it done, looked at them, looked at all the folks wanting to complain about what he had done. But it says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of in 52 days. Them sevens all up in there. Come on now. 5 and 2, 7. Woo! And 2 and 5 is 7. Can we say, ooh, complete. Got it all together and complete. He completed the work of God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it. At Nehemiah, we thank you, Lord God, for Malachi. We thank you, Lord God, for all the prophets. We thank you for Ezra. We thank you, God, for your priests. We thank you for your pastors. We thank you for Elijah, Elisha, dear Lord, for Isaiah and Moses and Aaron. We thank you, God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's get in Nehemiah. Hopefully everybody has got to Nehemiah chapter 8. And it says this, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square, just what I'm doing right now. That's what they did. They read the book. They read the word of God in openness, and we got to be willing to read the word of God in openness. But God loves us, and he wants us to proclaim his name and to tell his statutes and commandments. And it goes on to tell us, whew, thank you, Nehemiah. And it says the first day of the seventh month. And, you know, I got married, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, but a long time ago, on the seventh month, first day. It was my anniversary. It was my mother-in-law's birthday. My birthday gift to my mother-in-law was that I got married on her birthday. So gracious to share her birthday with my husband and I. You know, and I will never, ever forget how awesome a woman of God she was. Every time I saw my mother-in-law, before I left, after I got my hug and my kiss and my I love you, it was watch as well as pray. That was her lament to us every time we came together and loved each other's presence. Watch as well as pray. And I say to you this morning, watch as well as pray. Because the enemy is like a roaring lion walking around trying to devour our souls and our spirits. He don't want us to love God, but I love you, Jesus, and I love you, Father God. And as we go back to the word of God, it says this. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him at his right hand stood Matthias, Shema, Ananiah, Arzai, Hilatai, and Messiah. And at his left hand, Padiah, Mishael, Magiah, Misham, Hisbanana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, but he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. I want to say something. Did y'all catch something that I just said? And all the people stood up. We stand up for the reading of God's word in our houses of God. So many times you'll see the word of God being read. And folks just said, most don't have a Bible. They're looking at the pastor like, okay, will you please hurry up? We are supposed to stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. And the pastor will tell you when to sit down. And I'm going to read that one more time. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So Joshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, and Ichab, Sabbathai, Hadai, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Deliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law. And the people in their place. So they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." But all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go away, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." That's a shout up in here. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Say it one more time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So now you know where it comes from in context. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoiced greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, were gathered to Ezra the scribe, in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh moon, and that they should announce and proclaim in their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, "Go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of all trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees, to make booths." So it is written. So it is written. And as he continues, then the people went out and brought them then and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in the courtyard, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until the day the children of Israel had not, since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until the day the children of Israel had not done so, and there was very great gladness also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. And we're going to go into chapter 9, but I just want to say, for those that are just joining, moving forward and have not been with us before, moving forward is Bible study. And the goal of this ministry is to read the Word of God, as Ezra did. To read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, word for word. You know, I may skip over some genealogy name to name, just letting you know. All read to you from Genesis to Revelation every year, starting on January 1st. And this year, we're coming out of the Charles F. Daily Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And again, my disclaimer, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries to hawk their Bible, but I tell you, it is worth having in your biblical arsenal is to have this word. You get up every morning, sit down, look at the date, and read that word for the day. It is and has been a pleasure to do this work that God has called me to do. But we have got to get into our word and stay in our word, because the enemy does not want you to know the word of God. He doesn't want you to remember the commandments and keep them holy. He doesn't want any of that stuff. We got to fight, because we're in a battle for our souls and the souls of mankind. And as we go back into some life lessons, which are written by Dr. Stanley, this one comes from the word we just read in Nehemiah 8:5-6. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Seldom do we worship anymore with our faces to the ground. But perhaps we should. Such a posture would remind us that God, it will remind us that God is the King and we are his subject. We have to be reminded that God is the King and we are his subject. We don't tell God what to do. We just stand back and watch God work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, and of the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, this morning. And it goes on to tell us, such a posture will remind us that God is King and we are his subjects. He is sovereign and we are not. Verse number 8, they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. While all of us need to immerse ourselves in the word of God on our own, there is no subject for the regularity. I just can't help it. I all feel that. And it tells us while all immerse ourselves in the word of God on our own, there is no substitute for regularly gathering as the people of God to hear the Bible clearly explained and applied. Hallelujah. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How is God's joy our strength? Remember, Hebrews 12:2 tells us, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. God's delight is forgiving us, leading us. His happiness is in showing love to all who believe in him. Therefore, whenever we feel weak and helpless, we need to remember that God loves to step in and deliver us. Then his joy really will be our strength. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm get all filled up this morning, because I just get excited when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for us. He gave us the planet. We don't do right by it, but he still gave it to us. All he wants is for us to get his house in order. And it goes on to tell us in the 9th chapter, now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins. They confessed their sins. Are you confessing your sins today to the Lord? And as we continue in this word of God, it says this, and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day and for another 1/4, they confess and worship the Lord their God. And then it goes and tells them Joshua, Nehemiah, Gedemiah, Shabaniah, Benai, Sherebiah. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. And it just tells us this in the word of God. cried out with a loud voice to the Lord their God, and the Levites, Joshua, Kadamiah, Benai, Hasmoniah, Sherebiah, Jedi, Hodai, Shebaniah, and Zephaniah said, stand up and bless the Lord of God forever and ever. Blessed be the glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Gershonites. To give it to the whole descendants. And give it to the descendants. You have performed your word, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, against all the people of his land. And you knew that they acted proudly against him. So you made a name for yourself, as it is to this day. Whew. And you divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep as a stone into a mighty water. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke them and spoke with them. This is a history lesson that we're reading now. Again, I gotta say this one more time. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true love, good statutes and commandments. You know, you made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws. By the hand of Moses, your servant, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst. And we know that that rock is what got Moses in trouble. When God says speak, speak. When God says hit, hit up. God came down from heaven for us. And it goes on to tell us, he came down for us. He loved us like that. And as we go into the wilderness, it says this. But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Gracious and merciful is our God. He loves us so much that he's graceful and merciful. And he still gives us opportunity after opportunity. Hard neck, wanting to go back into bondage. But he slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Even though they was acting up He didn't forsake them, and he doesn't forsake us. Even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God, little G, that brought you up out of Egypt and worked great precautions, yet in your mindful mercy, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day. He still gave them light. And it goes on to say, he also gave you a good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold their manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Moreover, you gave them kingdom and nations, and divided them into districts, so that they took possession of the land of Shinar, and land of the king of Hezbon, and the land of Or, king of Bashan. You also multiplied their children as the stars of heaven, and brought them into the land which you had. You brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to go in and possess. Remember, Joshua and Caleb came back and gave a good report, but the ten came back with a bunch of mess. Oh, what's he going to do? And that's where it came in. They wanted to go back into bondage instead of accepting their blessing. And then when they found out they had displeased God, we want to go in now. Too late. You had your opportunity and you missed it. It's too late. And as we continue back to this, and it took strong cities and rich land and possessed houses full of all goods, sections already dead, vineyards, olive groves, and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their back, and killed your prophet who testified against them. And we know that's Miss Jezebel. And they took and they worked great provocation. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their enemies who oppressed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven. And according to your abundant mercy, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they again did evil before you. Therefore, you left them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercy, and testified against them, that you might bring them back to your law. Yet they act proudly, and did not heed your commandments, but stand against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their necks, and would not hear. Yet for many years you had patience with them, and testified against them by your spirit in your prophets. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the land. Nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them. For you are God, gracious and merciful. Now, therefore, our God, the great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the troubles seem small before you that has come upon us, our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people from the day of the kingdom of Assyria until this day. However, you are just in all that has befallen us before. For you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither of our kings nor our princes, our priests, nor our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and your testimonies with which you testified against them. For they have not served you in their kingdom, or in the many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here we are, servants today, and the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its food and its bounty. Here we are, servants in it, and it yields much increase to the king you have set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great danger. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. And I have just read to you this morning the 89th Psalm and 90th Psalm, verses 1. 90th Psalm, let me go and I'll tell you. I'm sorry, we read Psalms, all of the 89th Psalm up to verse 37. And we read Proverbs starting at verse 29 through chapter 22, verse 4. And we will be back on Sunday, and we will continue in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God willing, we'll get through everything. But if you are just wanting to read the word yourself over this weekend, read Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 1. Through chapter 11, verse 36, will complete the book of Nehemiah. So thank you so much for listening in this morning. As always, before we get out of here, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. This has been a long word, I know, but we have a lot more to it. And I just say, as Sister Carolyn says, this good morning. Purpose always prevails over problems. God has a plan for your life. Stand firm. Hold on to God, and he will win, and you will win in life. So hold on to God's unchanging hand, and remember who he is. To remind you, there's only one God who rules the heavens and the earth, and all he asks of us is to be obedient and keep his laws and statutes. Trust God today. And know that faith comes from hearing. We got to keep the faith family and watch God work in our lives. And I just want to share my scripture for today because it's right on point with our lesson. And it's Philippians 3:14. As many of you know, I press toward the goal for the prize of the overcall of God in Christ Jesus. Keep pressing. Keep praying. And knowing that God's in charge. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, keeping God first in all that you do. And join me again on Sunday as we continue in our words in the book of Nehemiah, starting at chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Thank you so much, family. I ran myself hoarse this morning, but God, I'm still grateful, and I'm still standing, praising God all the way through. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed.